I got inspired. I joined the Well in 1990, and Tina is a little older than I am in terms of raising children, and she was over on the Berkeley conference for the most part. At least that's where I would read. We were all dialing in through Berkeley to get free internet into Sausalito at the time. It was kind of like early radio, I thought, when I first got on the Well, that you still had this idea that, you know, it wasn't going to be online if the high tides came in, stuff like that. But she had all this advice. I remember when she wanted to build the kitchen, you know, I learned so much about how to build a kitchen, because it was a full research project, and joy at every step of the way, and taught me some patience about doing the kitchen. We had to design ours 3 times before we started working on it. But I think the best thing, something Rick said about teaching, is isn't always about a lot of talking. Sometimes it's just a little bit about putting an idea out there, you know, and then you learn a lot from that. So I was looking for somebody to be a summer intern 1 year, I remember, and put an ad on the Well. You know anybody that wants to be a summer intern? And Tina comes along and says, well, Sabra might want to be a summer intern. And so I said, well, let's talk to Sabra. You know, well, there was a problem, because Sabra had a job offer at a burrito stand over on University Street. And that was looking a lot better than this cubicle job that I was offering her over in Alameda, you know. And I think that Tina's advice to Sabra was that, you know, you're going to have to see what's going on in these cubicles. Maybe you should take a look at this. And so she came in and worked the cubicle job and also took the burrito job. You know, but what was good for me was that Tina, you know, had raised Sabra a little bit further along than my kids had been raised. And you have a lot of fear when you're a parent that, you know, the kids have been okay already, but tomorrow it's all going to break loose on you, you know. You know, they're all holding something back, you know. And here was Sabra, you know, comes in the t-shirt and the blue jeans, and just very calmly takes control of the office, you know, whips everything into shape, and heads off to college at the end of that. And I thought the big lesson, I mean, Sabra's lesson was that you don't die in a cubicle if you get out fast enough, you know. And for me, it was that, you know, kids actually grow up okay. So I thought it was a masterful job of manipulating the whole situation to the benefit of everybody. And I think that's a lot of what we're saying here today. So thank you, Tina.
The thing about the forwarding phone, the telephone company rules changed, and suddenly it was a toll call from Oakland, and it was going to be very expensive to be on the Well. So we conspired to install a phone line in Tina's basement and forward all calls to the 332-6106 number, so all of us could continue to access it without paying $200 a month in telephone bills. So it was a nice hack that we came up with there. I'm also a Well person. My name is David. There was a fellow who came onto the Well and wanted to start an experiment in online group therapy. It was not a successful experiment, ultimately, but it was good for a bunch of us, because many, many friendships were formed in there. People were telling their secrets to each other and trusting each other, and although the therapist didn't stick with it and it didn't work out, many good things emerged from that, including the sing thing, because I'm pretty sure the first gathering in Tina's apartment was begun by this group of people from this private conference. And because it turned out a lot of us played guitars and wanted to sing and all. So it wound up being this brunch, and we got together and played guitars, and that was so much fun. Well, let's do this more often. And it turned into pretty much a monthly thing, and it wound up at Reva and Jerry's house, because they were the hostly type, and their house was well suited for it, and there were no upstairs neighbors. And many, many good things emerged from the sing thing tradition, including my marriage to Rita. I'm going to ramble here because I have a lot of notes and not very well organized. One thing I wanted to say was that another of the most important women in my life passed about a year and a half ago, and the poem that I heard at that time, which I don't remember exactly, but the paraphrase is, Tina is not gone, she is everywhere that we are. And she's with me every day of my life, I'll tell you that. You never had a better friend than Tina. There was no fiercer ally, and I would not want to have been her not friend. She had the best calibrated shit detector of anybody I ever knew, And the thing about my friendship with Tina was that I could count on her for the absolute unflinching truth, no matter what it was, no matter how painful it was to get it, because I also knew that her love for me was unconditional and that her motives were absolutely pure, and she was my ally, my friend, my supporter, my defender, and my critic. Actually, that kind of sums it up pretty much. I am very happy to have been part of Tina's life and that Tina was part of my life. When I got together with Rita in 1992-93, I wasn't so much concerned with what my parents thought, but I was really, really, really determined that Tina would approve. And there was a day when I brought Rita over and deposited her in Tina's company while Eric and I went off and played racquetball. And it was kind of a little job interview sort of thing. I did get the thumbs up from Tina about Rita, and so we were able to proceed. And I found out later that at that same meeting, Rita was asking a few questions about me, and she got the thumbs up about me from Tina. So it all worked out well, because that person there was a reliable dispenser of truth and justice and love, and she was that for us. I'm also very, very grateful that I was able to sit next to Tina's deathbed in the living room there and thank her for all the things I just talked about. I wasn't able to do that for my dear friend Goldie, and I wasn't able to do that with my mother. Both of those people passed away out of my presence, but Tina was there. We were with her as often as we could be in those last few weeks, and I was able to sit next to that bed and tell her to her face how much I loved her and appreciated her and thanked her for it. And I said, "I'll come back and tell you again in a few days if I need to." And she said, "I will not forget." And there wasn't another opportunity, because it was just a couple days later that she died. But I will be eternally grateful that I was able to say that to her. And there are a lot of people I wouldn't be able to say that to, but our relationship was so completely clear and pure and truthful that I was not afraid to say that, not scared, not intimidated. I meant it with every fiber of my being, and she knew that. She looked me right back in the eye and said, "I won't forget."